Witnessing violence or an arrest is traumatic at any age, but how does it impact children in particular to see someone they trust and look up to being hurt or arrested? Reports of Jacob Blake's shooting by the Kenosha police detail that his three kids were nearby in the car and witnesses to the violence. Here's his father, Jacob Blake Sr., talking to reporters last week.
All my grandson asked repeatedly is, why did the police shoot my daddy in the back?
Our guest is Julie Paleman-Tynan. She's the Dorothy A. O'Brien Professor of Human Ecology for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's also a licensed psychologist. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What makes a child witnessing violence against a caregiver different than other instances of being exposed to violence?
Well, it's about someone they trust, someone they look to protect them. Actually being hurt is particularly detrimental, especially when they're up close and witnessing it in person. It can induce a lot of fear and trauma and devastation, because that person who's in charge of protecting them and nurturing them all of a sudden can't do that anymore. And, you know, they love the person. They, you know, it's really hard to see someone you love be hurt.
How is it different for kids if parents are being violent or if someone inflicts violence on a parent in front of them?
Well, when children witness a range of violence, it can be really detrimental to their well-being. But when they're the victim of violence, so like if a parent is violent toward a child, that has long-term effects on the child's development, such as school problems, drugs and alcohol abuse, aggression, depression, mental health problems, etc. But it can be really negative for the kids to see other people hurting their parents. So like witnessing domestic violence or witnessing police violence. And my research focuses on children who are exposed to violence because of police arresting their parents.
Yeah, you've done some research on the short-term impact for kids who witness their parents' arrests. What have you found?
In two recent studies, we looked at young children who witnessed their parents' arrest. And in one study, we looked at short-term outcomes such as the children's health and development. And what we found is that there were effects, even short-term, on the kids' health if they had witnessed the parents' arrest, even if we controlled for other types of traumatic exposures. And we found that especially in the areas of health and academic development or pre-academic development, like early reading skills, early writing skills, and even motor skills, in addition to health, were affected by watching the parents' arrest. And we also collected accounts of like how that went. And the vast majority of children were extremely distressed at the time and, you know, repeatedly asked, you know, why, what happened, or talked about it or cried about it. Similar to that clip that you heard of Jacob Blake's dad talking about the children's reaction.
So when you're talking about health outcomes for kids, are we talking primarily mental health? Are there physical health outcomes? What does that look like for kids?
It's both. It's health and mental health. It's also stress. So in a second study, we looked at how witnessing a parent being arrested affected children's behavior and stress processes. And what we found is that when children witnessed their parents' arrest, again, they got very, very upset. But regardless of their distress level, they had a physiological reaction. And if it was basically just witnessing the arrest and they were otherwise pretty, you know, well-functioning before that, they had a spike in cortisol that was happening for months after the witnessing and the arrest. Now, if they were already having some concerns like anxiety or depression or withdrawal, and they witnessed the arrest, then what we saw was, it's called blunted cortisol reaction. And that means that their system was so dysregulated that they stopped having normal stress reactions. Because, you know, all you want people to have some stress reaction. I mean, we have cortisol, a stress hormone in our body, so that we can, you know, react to like any kind of stress, even minor stress, you know. But once a child is just flooded with stress hormones for a substantial period of time, they sometimes stop having those normal reactions. And this can have really long-term effects on not only their behavior, mental health, health, but also their brain development. Even the structure of their brain changes. And so it's really important to think about, you know, what are those short-term effects, but also what are the long-term effects? And the kids in the studies that I'm talking about, they started showing the kinds of behaviors and stress reactions that you see in people who have post-traumatic stress disorder, which is really concerning that, you know, they're showing that even at a really young age, and it could be just witnessing that one event. And in some cases, the arrests were violent. There were, you know, firearms used, but in other cases, they were a little more benign. And so it's across a range of experiences, with the most extreme violent arrests, such as occurred recently with Jacob Blake, but also we saw that earlier in 2016 in Minneapolis with the arrest of Philando Castile, when he was driving with his stepdaughter in the back and she saw him killed. And that
4 years
had,
old. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That has had repercussions for that child's life. So we see both short-term and long-term effects for this that can be pretty profound for young children.
Julie Palmentinen is a licensed psychologist, also a professor at UW-Madison, and we're talking about children witnessing violence. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced something dramatic in your childhood? What questions do you have about childhood trauma and helping kids? 800-642-1234. Julie, does trauma affect children on different levels depending on their mental health before something happened? Like, would an anxious child be affected differently than a child who didn't experience anxiety before they witnessed something violent?
Yeah, a couple of my studies have shown that the effects are actually worse for kids who have some ongoing, you know, stressors or mental health issues, especially anxiety or depression. So that can interact with the kinds of things that they're witnessing in their day-to-day lives. But with that said, a major violent event that happens really close to a child, so they, you know, see it very close, can also have an effect even without the child having problems ahead before that.
Does witnessing violence always wind up being an adverse childhood experience, something that really affects future violence, victimization, perpetration of it? I mean, is seeing violence automatically really a problem in the long term for kids?
There's variation. So some kids have enough supports. They get, you know, therapy. They have a lot of you know, positives in their lives. They have really great relationships with people where the risk of witnessing violence can be mitigated and they can be resilient. So that's definitely possible. I mean, witnessing violence isn't something that dooms a child to having negative outcomes. It's just, it really increases their risk. And so kids may, you know, try to act out the violence in their play. They may talk about it. They may ask lots of questions about it. They might have bad dreams. They might have developmental regressions. They might be, you know, fearful or anxious, or even respond to benign situations with fear or anxiety. But it doesn't necessarily have to be like a problem for their whole childhood. There is hope and help. And one of the ways is to, you know, engage in some kind of trauma-sensitive programs or therapy, or like I said, just have really, really supportive adults and other people in your life, and keep that child's in a safe space. There are also things that we can do as a society, and that's more on the preventive end rather than the treating it once it's happened end.
We'll talk about that as we continue our conversation with Julie Pailman-Tynan. She's a licensed psychologist and a professor of human ecology. We're talking about the short and long-term effect of witnessing violence against a parent as a child. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you work with children who've been in traumatic situations? How do you approach that work? What do you want us to know? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. You're part of this conversation here on Central Time. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about how witnessing violence, specifically against a parent or caregiver, as a child can impact development. And our guest is Julie Pailman-Tynan. She's a professor and a licensed psychologist. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Have you or someone you know experienced trauma in your childhood? How have you carried that forward with you in your life? What are your questions about childhood trauma? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Julie, we had a caller from the Fox Valley who's wondering how, as a secondary caregiver, we can talk to kids about this. How do therapists or family members really approach trying to help kids when they've witnessed violence?
Well, first of all, it's important to reassure them that they're safe, and then to see what questions they have, and then try to do your best to answer their questions in a developmentally appropriate, honest way, but not giving way too much information or not giving, you know, a lot of details that might be scary for them, but just really trying to focus on answering their questions at a level that they can understand. So if a child's 2, that would look very different from if they were 6 or 7. Sesame Street has some really great materials on their website for talking to children about a number of different difficult experiences, including trauma. And so I would encourage people to seek that out. But it's important to just really see what questions they have and to also let them know that they're loved and they're safe, and just reassure them that they're going to be okay.
For some children, this happens as one big event. Others witness this chronically, that there is violence all around them. How difficult is it for a child to overcome the negative effects of seeing violence?
It is true that some children live in neighborhoods where violence is common, or even in families where there's chronic domestic violence happening, or even maltreatment toward the child. And it is really challenging for children to grow up in those situations. And so it's important for, you know, schools to support them. It's important for parents and other caregivers, especially secondary caregivers, to help support children and try to get them into places where they're safe and teach them about ways of keeping themselves safe if they're worried that there's violence. And then also, as I mentioned earlier, there are some therapeutic approaches, trauma-informed programs and therapies that can also help children recover from really traumatic events, whether they're chronic or one-time.
You mentioned we could do things as communities, as a society, to try to prevent violence from happening, especially in front of children in the first place. Where do we start?
Well, one of the things that's been promoted in the past 5 or so years by the federal government, but also the International Chiefs of Police, social work organizations, and other places, are models for law enforcement that involve protecting or safeguarding children during the arrest of parents. And there's one program that's been published by the Bureau of Justice Assistance from the U.S. Department of Justice called Safeguarding Children of Arrested Parents, and another one that has been published by the Office of Justice Programs, again through the Department of Justice, called First Do No Harm, Model Practices for Law Enforcement Agencies When Arresting Parents in the Presence of Children. And what happens with those protocols, if you can train law enforcement agents to accommodate the idea that things need to be different if children are present in order to prevent trauma, it can be really helpful. So, for example, there could be more pre-arrest planning. In a situation like Jacob Blake's, I mean, there probably wasn't a chance to do any pre-arrest planning, but you could modify the timing and the methods, delay the arrest, remove the parent from the sight of the children, refrain from using force, etc., that slow down the situation. And if these protocols are really implemented, it can decrease the amount of violence that children witness. And it can also preserve lives, especially in Black communities, where we've seen an increase in police violence against Black individuals. So, for example, in Philando Castile's case in Minneapolis, if the officers in that case had used these child safe protocols, things would have been slowed down. The person would have been asked to get out of the car, and nothing would have happened that would be like right there in front of the child. And probably in Jacob Blake's case too, because the officers would have said, are there children around mm-hmm. here? How can we do this out of sight of the children? And that if, you know, he had gone to check on his children, that would not be a time for police action. So these protocols can be very preventive.
We've got John from Broadhead who's ready to talk with us. Hi, John.
Hello. I'm just calling because this is kind of a survivor of childhood trauma with police, not from to my parents, but to my brother. And so when I was young, my brother was really troubled, and he committed a robbery in our small town. And a police officer picked me up off the street and actually took me to the crime scene. And I had no idea my brother was involved with this. And they had me identify something that would later on be used against my brother in court. And they took me back to my house, and the cops surrounded our home and removed my brother from our home at gunpoint. And then later on, I was actually used as a witness against my brother. And there was no support for me as a 13-year-old kid in this situation. And, you know, I'm still overcoming some of the trauma from that, because I had to sit on a stand and help put my brother in prison, who himself is 16 years old. And it's really hard to see how there isn't, more support for kids in these hard situations that involve, law enforcement and everything.
John, thank you so much for being willing to share what you've experienced and what you're dealing with even now to help other people understand what we're talking about. Julie, what can you say to John?
Well, first of all, it just sounds so heartbreaking. And that was probably really inappropriate practice to involve you as a child only 13 years old in that way, and that to remove your brother at gunpoint from your home. And I think, you know, as much as we can argue that those things weren't right, there's still ways that you can try to heal from the experience, because it sounds like it's still extremely stressful. And, seeking out therapy that is trauma-informed or focuses on trauma is a really good way of trying to heal from that, because you probably still have the memories of it and the feelings that come up. And, you know, it's really hard if when you think about it, you just really, want to cry or break down or get really stressed. And so I think you should have had way more support as a young person, because that was just like a horrible situation for you. And I wish there was more that had been done for you then. But there's still hope, you know, there's still things that you can do even as an adult.
What should adults who realize the trauma so many years later, what should we do?
Well, there's a number of different approaches to healing. Some people choose, you know, therapy or counseling, or there's eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing. There's group therapy, etc. There's also meditation and different ways of, you know, trying to calm the mind and heal oneself. But really just recognizing it is the first step, recognizing that that was traumatic and that it can have long-term effects on someone's health and well-being. That's the first step. Hmm.
Julie, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much.
Julie Pailman-Tynan is a licensed psychologist. She's also the Dorothy A. O'Brien Professor of Human Ecology for the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And she joined us today to talk about how witnessing violence against a parent or a caregiver as a child can affect a person's development. We also talked about how to help kids, how we can think about what happened to us when we were little now as adults, and how we can just do better as a society.